Tehilim, Perek Hey, Chapter 5. We said that we have a tradition that there are 10 compilers of Tehilim, starting from Adam HaRishon, Adam, going David, and possibly beyond that. I don't know. The 10 people who compiled Tehilim are Adam, Malki Tzedek, King of Jerusalem, Shem, Avraham, Moshe, David, Shlomo, Asaph, and the three sons of Korach. That's how we get to 10. And if you want, it's the first Rashi on Tehilim. And some people say that there was another person called Yedutun. We're going to see there are verses that begin with Namatzeach, Ala Yedutun, or Lidutun. And the Yedutun, some say, was a person, and some say it was an instrument that was used to play music with. So it's unclear whether he was one of the compilers of Tehilim. So there might have been 11 people who compiled Tehilim, who composed. Lamnatzach ela nechilot mizmor le David. So nechilot, some say, are a type of instrument, and some say it refers to nachala, the inheritance, and some say that it has to do with battalions that are sometimes you have a group of bees attacking, so they're called nechil dvorim, swarm. Yeah. Kli negina b'migdash means an instrument for playing music in the Bet HaMigdash. So some want to say it's referring to the different battalions that come to attack the Jewish people. King David compiled the following song. Amarai ha'azina. So over here, after ha'azina, we have a pause. You see that line? That indicates a pause. So very often these pauses are to separate between a word and God's name. So King David is saying, Amarai, what I say, Ha'azina, please listen to Hashem. When I have strength to call out and I pray to you, Hashem, please listen when I yell for you, when I speak and ask you to help me. Bina Hagigi, understand my thoughts. Sometimes I don't have the strength to speak out and say what's bothering me, and my worry is deep in my heart. So God, please understand my thoughts of worry. Please, we say every day, Hegyon Libi. At the end of prayer, we say, Yiyu l'ratzonim reifi. May my words be a favor before Hashem. Vehegyon Libi, and the thoughts of my heart, lefanecha, before Hashem. So Hagigi is the same term. Bina, please understand, Hashem, Hagigi, my thoughts. So King David is asking God to accept his prayer when he speaks and when he thinks. Hakshiva lekol shavi malki ve'lohai. Listen to the sound of my yelling out, my calling out, my prayer, my God, my king and my God. King David is referring to God on both terms, both as his king and his God. Keilecha et palal, for it is to you that I pray. Hashem, boker, tishma koli. God, in the morning I call out to you, and you should listen to my voice. Boker e'roch lecha. In the morning I set up my prayer, vatzapeh, and I look out. I'm anticipating you're doing what I ask for. So our sages tell us that in the morning God takes the Rasham to task. God does judgment on the Rasham in the morning. The Gemara says that every morning, if you look at a rooster at his karbolet, his, what's that red thing called, his crown, if you look at the crown, so if you look at the veins, there's a minute where it goes white. And everything goes white. There's a split second where everything goes white on a rooster's crown. And that split second, our sages say, is when there's anger up in heaven. And if you know to catch that second, then whoever you curse, God will wipe out. So our sages say there was one of the Amoraim who was, there were people who kept on getting him upset, people who were irreligious people. People who were, they might have been we don't know exactly what they were, but there were people who purposely wanted to antagonize him. They wanted to bother him. So he said, I'll curse them and I'll wipe them out. So he took a rooster and he held it between his feet and he was waiting. When that second would come, he'd curse them. And he fell asleep looking at the rooster. So he figured out that God purposely had him fall asleep, that it's not right, that's not... Gamanush la tzaddik lo tov. Even punishing others who deserve to be punished isn't good for a tzaddik. That's not what he should be busy with. So in the morning, God gets angry. And in the morning, God also, God has the split second where he gets angry. The only one who was able to catch that split second was Bilam. That's how Bilam was able to curse. Whenever he'd curse, he'd destroy because he knew how to catch that second. Our sages say that God told the Jewish people, you owe me one. Remember what favor I did for you, that in the times of Bilam, I didn't get angry that second. Every morning he'd wait for that second to curse the Jewish people. And God said, this morning I'm not getting angry. Why does God get angry? I don't know. We have to understand that. The Gemara has a long discussion that God has a split second when he's angry, whatever that means. But at any rate, King David is saying, God, in the morning when I know you do judgment over the world and you judge the Rasham for that which they did wrong, please listen to my voice as I call out to you and I set up my prayer. And he's using the term Eroch, which means to set up, but it's a term that's also used for setting up a battalion for war. So he's saying, I'm setting myself up and I'm expecting, I'm anticipating that you'll judge them. Ki lo el chafetz resha ata, for you are not a force, a God that wants evil, iniquity to be in the world. And therefore, it's fitting for you to wipe out the Rasham from the world. Lo yigulcha ra, you don't let what's bad be with you. You don't let it live with you. Lo yityatzevu holelim l'neged einecha. Those who get drunk, they make fun, you don't let them stand opposite your eyes. Sanita kol po'ale yaven. You hate those who do things with lies. Te'abed dovrei chazav. Now here, I want to lane the pasuk because there's an important rule in learning Tehillim that you should know here. Ordinarily in all of Tanakh, the figures that we have above and beneath the words represent the tunes of the words. And Tehillim, Mishlei, and Iyov have their own set of trup, their own tune. They're called Tamei Emet. Emet is an acronym. It stands for Iyov, Mishlei, Tehillim, Emet. They have their own tune. Now, in every other book in Tanakh, so the major pause is the end of a pasuk. That's true also in Tehillim. Every pasuk is, it's like the end of a sentence. But in every other book of Tanakh, the second most major pause is signified by the sign that's in pasuk vav under the word einecha. It's called an etnachta, or the Sfaradim call it an asnach. So the pasuk reads, lo yityatzevu olelim neneged einecha, saneita kol po'ale yaven, with a pause after einecha. That's like a comma. That's like the second most major pause. It's like not the end of the sentence, it's a pause in the middle. But in Tehillim, Iyov and Mishlei, there is a more major pause than that one. And that is the pause that's on the word chazav in our pasuk. On the word chazav, you see that sign? On top it's like an arrow, and on bottom it's like a backward comma. That's called an olev yored. And the way this pasuk would read is, te'abed doverei chazav. Pause. Here there's a serious pause. Ishtamim umilma yeta'ev Adonai. See, the most major pause, it's more major even than the etnachta, is on the word chazav. So King David is telling God, you should wipe out those who speak lies. Ishtamim umilma, and that's the first pause in the pasuk. Ishtamim umilma, a man who is filled with blood and deceit, cunning, yeta'ev Hashem. Hashem finds him disgusting. Hashem distances him. Now, notice that there's a pause between Yeta'ev and Hashem. If there wouldn't be a pause, it would mean that this person finds Hashem, so to speak, disgusting. The pasuk says, a man who's filled with blood and cunning will find disgusting, pause, Hashem. Meaning Hashem will find that man disgusting. Who is this person? Who is Ishtamim umilma? It's referring to Amalek. Now, in a lot of Tehillim, I'm waiting for a more exact version of Rashi to come out. Because I feel, I sense in many psukim that the censors change things. And this might be one of the places. I don't know who Rashi was really referring to when Rashi said who this was referring to. Rashi in Tehillim was censored by the Christians. So, I don't know. We have to wait for a more accurate version to come out. Va'ani, and I, King David says, Berov chasdecha avo veitecha, with your great kindness I come to your house, eshtachave lechal kotchecha biratecha, I will bow to your holy place with fearingness of God. Now this pasuk, first of all, the custom is when we enter shul, we say this pasuk. So it's incorporated in the matovu, which today many people say when they enter shul. We end matovu, v'ani v'ov chaschcha v'ov itecha, eshtachve lechal kotchcha b'iratecha, Hashem avtim on b'itecha m'kom shkan kvodecha, etc. Right? V'ani v'rov chaschcha v'ov itecha. Yeah? So, but the main point is this pasuk. When a person enters shul, he should say this, like King David said, with your kindness I come to your home God, that's the shul, I bow to your holy place with fearingness of God. And this is an important point, that a person should enter the place of worship with God-fearingness. Person isn't supposed to show lightheadedness in shul. People don't know this. Ideally, we're not supposed to have a kiddush in shul. We're not supposed to have a brit milah in shul. Shul is supposed to be used only for prayer. It's a special leniency that we say, being that everyone's already here, we don't want to trouble everyone to go to a different hall, so we permit a person to do brit milah and shul. But people think, I'll get married in the great synagogue. That's not ideal. Our custom is that you don't get married in a synagogue. A synagogue is used for worship. You don't use it for other things. And you're supposed to have fear of God. You enter there. You're entering the house of worship of Hashem. You don't use it even for performance of other mitzvot. You say, if everyone's already here, so we have a special leniency, we allow them to do brit milah there. But not the way people today do, that they think, where am I going to have the brit? 12 o'clock, I'll bring everyone to shul, I'll make the bris over there. That's not the ideal. You don't use a shul as a place where that's your wedding hall, that's your simcha hall. No, it's a place of worship.
Outside the home, or that they do kiddush in a room next to the shul.
Right. They do it here?
No.
They do it in the shul?
No, in Israel. Quite often they do it in the shul. Also Havdalah.
Havdalah is different. Havdalah was instituted so that people who don't have wine will be able to hear Havdalah in shul. Same in Kiddush. That's different. That was an institution so that people will be able to hear it there. That's the whole point, to do it there. But that's not using it. Okay, I hear what you're saying.
See, that's what I thought actually for Kiddush. I'm slightly surprised. I mean, I guess here it's not so much of an issue, Baruch Hashem, but it's a large synagogue, about it, or large yeshiva, and a large synagogue also for Friday night. There's a lot of people coming here. I was a little surprised that they don't do Kiddush on Friday night. Has a shop for someone in the neighborhood who doesn't have wine.
Yeah, but first of all, most people today have wine or could get wine. And secondly, in Shulchan Aruch already, it's brought that the custom was in Israel not to do. In Israel, it says, if I'm not mistaken, it says clearly in Shulchan Aruch already, then his time already. It says in Chutzlar, they have this custom, and in Israel, they don't. They don't have the custom of doing Kiddush and Shul.
One of the classes, they said they do it in the diaspora with the congregation because they think a lot of people don't know how to do it properly. So at least now,
it's harder to find kosher wine.
That's what I was thinking.
Is that? Yeah.
Okay.
I think in Canada, there's six, Montreal, because Toronto is a big difference. They have like six different kosher wines. And it's like all from Carmel.
And it's hard to get, I think.
So I think five are from Carmel and one is from, kosher wine is very like.
That was a visual thing.
No, I mean, it's just it's kosher wine, but it's very hard to find. Not every liquor store has kosher wine. You have to go to a big liquor store to get the kosher wine. It's all government liquor stores, so I mean, in an area where there's no Jews, they won't, I mean, they probably put the bottles there, and if they don't sell the bottle in a month, they pull them off. Not Israel, that's for sure. You can't find a bottle of uncorked wine if you try.
Ruch Hashem.
Yeah, right.
So King David is saying that, God, I will come to your house of worship when you show me this kindness, that you'll show us that you'll take revenge from our enemies. And he's stressing that he wants to see this revenge taken. You do your tremendous kindness and take revenge from my enemies, then I'll be able to come back into the house. And this is an important point. We sometimes think that who needs to take revenge? And we see not that way. That there's an element where the Jewish people have to avenge what's done to them. And this is a concept that needs to be discussed at greater length, but we have to be aware that the concept exists. Pasuk Tes, Hashem, necheni v'tzidkatecha, Hashem, guide me with your righteousness, lema'an shorerai. Shorerai is a term, shorer means those who see me. For the sake of those who are watching me and waiting, they say, King David's in trouble again and again and again. When's he going to leave God? So for their sake, God, allow me, guide me in your righteous path so that they'll never get what they want. I should never leave you. Hayshal lefanai darkecha. Make your path straight before me. Let me know what's the right way and keep going on it. And this is something that every person should pray for. We don't always know what's right. And we need God to guide us into what's right. My principal in high school used to say, when you're standing before a decision and you're 100% sure you know what's right, and it seems so clear this is what you should be doing, chances are it's wrong. So I don't know if I would say that. That's what he said. I don't know if I would say that. But very often in life's difficult decisions, we don't know what the right path is. It's not just a question of that we don't necessarily want to do what's right, but it's hard to discern what is right. So King David is saying, God, make your path straight in front of me. Let me recognize what's a straight path. Ki ein befiu nechona, the people who are opposite me, they're not speaking straight to me. They're speaking with their mouths one way and kill bamavot, but deep down inside, their hearts are filled with, they want me to be destroyed. Kever patuach geronam, King David says their throats are like an open grave. They want me to fall into that grave. Leshonam yachlikun, and they make their tongues like slide. They're all trying to kill me, and on the outside, they all treat me like they're my friends. And King David had this again and again, where people treated him like they were his friends, and behind their back, they'd send word to King Saul and say, oh, he's here, come get him. Well, we'll tell you where he's hiding. We'll give him over into your hands. Hashimim, and this is what many philosophers have said. A person should be careful of the people who speak nicely to him. That's why I said, when people said that the Hamas came up, it's so terrible, I said there's an aspect where it's better. At least they're the known enemy. Better the known enemy. The Palestinian Authority was funding warfare against us and using the artillery we gave them against us. And on the front, they were speaking nicely. On the surface, people were able to fool themselves. So King David is saying that my enemies, they don't show themselves as my enemies. They look like they love me. And inside, they really want to swallow me up. They want to bury me alive. Ha'ashimeim Elokim. He says, God, find them at fault. Yipelu mimo'atzotehem. Let them fall from their evil thoughts that they think about the Jewish people. Berov pishehem hadichemo kimaru vach. For their many times that they've rebelled against you, God, you should wipe them out. You should get rid of them, for they have rebelled against you. And again, King David is referring to God's taking them to court and finding them at fault, and they should fall. They should lose their high status. And this is an important point. He's not only talking about their destruction; he's also talking about their downfall. And this is something I think people aren't thinking about, but there was a country that had a certain amount of wealth and was funding terrorists that were fighting against us. And today, they're down. They can't even put together a government. They're known as Iraq. Now, I'm not saying I'm happy for all the people that their lives are destroyed in Iraq and all the bad that's going on there, but there were a lot of wicked people in that empire. And there are a lot of people there who funded. I mean, every terrorist that sent his kid to bomb us, Saddam Hussein was sending him thousands of dollars. I don't know the exact numbers, but this kingdom is down now, and that's something we should be thankful for. And King David over here is saying, God, find these kingdoms that attack us at fault. They should lose their important status. They shouldn't succeed in their thoughts against us. And this is something that happened. It came true with Iraq, without us firing one bullet. And all those that rely on you, God, they'll rejoice, they'll be happy. They'll always be able to rejoice and you will protect them. When they see that you bless those that rely on you, that you love, so then everyone will also have the yaltzu becha. They will also be happy with you, God. Ki ata tevarech tzaddik, for you, Hashem, will bless the tzaddik. Katzina, like a shield, ratzon ta'atrenu. You'll surround them with your goodwill. Now, what is a tzina? Tzina is a shield that they used to carry that protected a person from three sides. A shield that went around three sides is called a tzina. So King David is saying, just like this shield protects a person from all around, so to Hashem you should surround the tzaddik with your goodwill. Okay. Any questions? So let's summarize what we read. King David began this praise, the praise which was to the Nechilot. We said Nechilot either means inheritance or the understanding that more fits over here is the battalions that attack the Jewish people. And he's saying, God, please listen to what I say when I have strength to speak, or when I don't, read my thoughts and accept my prayer. Listen to me when I call out, my king and my God. Why do you think he's referring to God as his king? Because he's speaking about leading battalions. He's speaking about defeating the battalions that come against us. For you, God, I pray. It's to you I pray. In the morning when you go to judge, I want you to judge and find them at fault. For you don't like wickedness. You don't allow bad to remain dwelling opposite you. You don't let those that joke opposite stay opposite you. And you dislike all those that are liars. And therefore, King David prays to God that he should wipe out those that lie, the nations that are filled with blood and deceit, for Hashem hates them. And when God will wipe them out, the prayer ends with the fact that King David will come back to God's home after having defeated them at war, and he'll come back filled with God's kindness. He'll bow to God's holy place, filled with fear of God. He begs God to keep guiding him in the right path and not be misled by all those that try to act as though they're his friends and really they're waiting for him to die and be wiped out. And he's begging God to get rid of all these nations that have all these sins, and when they'll be gotten rid of, then all the people who rely on God will be able to rejoice. Everything depends on God's blessing. He's the one that protects the tzaddik with his goodwill. Any questions?
We have one. If you say kadosh, 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 there's also this pause. Though I read once you should pause after the first one.